Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, every week we have somebody in talking about their favourite album or talking about an album that means an awful lot to them. Jenny Green, I'm delighted to say, is here with us now, and she has an album that meant an awful lot to her. Let's see if you can guess what it is. We're going to play three numbers. We'll start with this. It is Release the Pressure. It is Music from Left Field. It is Leftism. And is that, could I say, it's just one of the... By the way, was it something that really got you into it all, or were you well into it all before that?
Now, this was probably the one that got me into it, because I think around the time that this was released, a lot of my friends, and me included, we would have listened to a lot of hip-hop, strangely enough. Yeah. And then this album came out in 95, so I would have been, what, 13, I think, when this came out.
Yeah.
And the way that I got this album was... I'm going old school now. Do you remember years back
when cassettes.
Well, I'm kind of talking about that, a little past that, when, do you remember the Britannia Music Club? People
yeah.
used to get their magazines in and order CDs.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad used to order CDs every couple of months from it, and he'd give me the magazine and go, you can get one or two. And that is how I ended up getting...
You mean you can get one or two out of the 10 that he might get?
Exactly. Oh. And I ended up getting the Left Field Leftism album, which I still have to this day. That exact copy
I
that came
from
there.
I have to tell you that the equivalent of the Britannia Music Club, when I was working in America in a fairground, I joined about 16 different clubs. And you get an introductory offer of 10 free albums and you pay like $1 or $2. And then I left the country. I brought home, about 200 albums. It was fantastic. And I spent about 12 quid on it. I got the full works of William Shakespeare for $2.50.
You're joking.
You see, you join the clubs, they give you this, but then you don't
buy And then
it.
You just leg it.
Yeah. It's brilliant. Anyway, you wouldn't believe it. All the albums. Where did you get all these American albums? Because they were American version things. Anyway, let's get back to Left Field and let's see where we are with all of this. Because if you think about this album, I mean, the songs that are on it, some of them, many of them were released within the previous 3 and 4 years before that in different versions, weren't they?
That's right. And the first one that we played was Release the Pressure. That was the first track that they did when they had switched to a new label. I think it came out around 92.
Yeah.
And it was quite an unusual record when you hear it now. Obviously, the version that we all know that included on the album, that was used in the O2 ad, the very first O2 ad,
oh, really?
I think. Yeah.
Mm.
And I think that's why probably people recognise it who mightn't be into Left Field and don't know who it is. But there was just something about it. And Earl 16, who features on the vocals.
He's the vocals. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a sample from an old tune of his. He kind of redid it. But they ended up putting this album together, I think, that a lot of artists suddenly wanted to feature on that they weren't anticipating when they started out making this. And it became kind of just one of those albums, I think, that sort of changed the industry for maybe the likes of whether it was the Chemical Brothers or the Prodigy, you know?
Well, the ones you've mentioned, I'd know, but there were other ones around then at that time. I mean, and most people talk about that time in terms of Britpop, but this was all happening right there on the surface, just as big, if not bigger. And the point is, there's things like the Sabres of Paradise or wasn't there, who was it? Was it Renegade Soundwave and all that? Now, I don't know these at all. I just knew the names, but there was lots of those bands.
There were so much, yeah. And it was kind of probably a smallish scene at the time, and nobody really knew how this was suddenly going to take off and take over, and it certainly has. And it's amazing when you hear an album like this and you hear it now, and a lot of the tracks still get played on us probably mostly by me, but
on nighttime too, if
any excuse to squeeze it in. But it is an album that you kind of go back to, and I think it appeals. It kind of has broad appeal. It was described, I think, when it was released as a progressive house album, and it was no more that. It was kind of like it was.
Really?
Oh, I don't
controversy.
Think so.
I mean, like, what did it like? It was British for start, very UK compared to whatever. So, I mean, the word progressive wasn't right, wasn't it?
Well, I think progressive house nearly put it into this small little box that it covered a lot of genres, I thought, this whole album, because it went from really heavy banging techno moments to the likes of Release the Pressure, which was kind of reggae and chill, and then other tracks that got even more chilled.
Well, the whole influence and the dynamics of dub reggae, they brought that right out to the fore, didn't they?
They really did.
I mean, Screamadelica had done a bit of that a few years before that in the kind of rock side of things that I would have known from Primal Scream. They did the same kind of thing in some ways, but this was, I mean, like, they joined up with the bands that you've mentioned there, which is, you know, I don't know who, like Orbital and the Prodigy and Underworld and all the rest of it. Left Field were there because of this album, but they were different.
They were, because I think as well, you know, they'd both come from sort of punk backgrounds, and that's really what you could kind of hear when you listen to the album, and then even getting someone like the likes of John Lydon onto a track. And even I think John has said since then that this is the best track he's ever written. And I think when you hear it and what it means and where it came from.
But you always have to say it's John Lydon from Public Image Limited, not the Sex Pistols. So
I let you do that.
Yeah, because it was kind of important at the time. Anyway, John Lydon, we might as well play that track then because you picked it, which is from the album Leftism. We're talking left field. John Lydon here. This is called Open Up. There you go. Open Up is what it's called. We're talking leftism here with Jenny Green. So Jenny, Nighttime's like, okay, when was the last time that you played a track from this album on the radio? And last night?
No, do you know what it was? It was actually last Saturday.
Oh, really?
I actually played Open Up.
All right.
And there's a lot of different versions of it. I think I played the original version, if I remember correctly, but I just have always had a real love for this track, and considering how old it is, it still sounds as current today. And I loved particularly what the song was about because I was listening to it for years before I realised what it was about. Yeah. And I think as far as I know, it was basically him over in the States trying to make it in acting, and Hollywood was having none of them. They weren't interested, and that's where the Burn Hollywood Burn comes
from.
And it's only when you listen to the track again with that in mind, you can hear all of the references. And I think that's kind of what makes it magical.
So I'm trying to wonder where it is that I saw Orbital. I was definitely at a festival. The noise. They really knew how to make it. I mean, they had their own sound system going on all the time. They had a huge thing going. But the funny thing is, would it be fair to say that Orbital, if you like, took the kind of, I don't know, they took the thing out of the clubs, if you like, and put it into festivals?
Orbital definitely did, I suppose, as did Left Field as well. I mean, they probably both did it. And I think you and I would have seen Orbital years ago.
Even where playing. Was it?
They were down at Electric Picnic. Do you remember they were on the main stage?
I can't remember where I saw them.
We were on the. I remember because it was. Remember when we used to have a good spot?
A good spot.
Yeah, and we were behind the main stage, and we were like, "How much can we take?" And bless Ian Wilson, he came back and said, "Oh, we can take the whole set." I was like, "This is great."
Right.
So I think that to me was a really big moment.
We put it out in the Roadcaster.
We did.
Yeah,
in full. It wasn't track two and a bit of track seven.
Yeah, they seemed to add an awful lot more drums. There was something about the drum sound, like it was really, really loud. It was really happening or something. I don't know what it was.
It is. It's kind of, you know, people sort of think that it's electronic music. And it won't have that, but I think probably Left Field and Orbital both have that crossover where you're like, I know they're DJs and producers, but this also feels like a band as well in some ways.
Yeah. And what do you think they're I don't know, the kind of the remixes were defining the next wave of dance, like they opened another door to go further.
They definitely did. I mean, even when you look at a lot of the acts now would say that they were influenced by them, and even about I think it was about 5 years ago they did an anniversary edition of Leftism, and then loads of other kind of newer producers and DJs got on board and did remixes, like the likes of Scream, who actually remixed Open Up, which was and took it to a whole different level again. So I think they're just an act that will kind of always be there.
And sometimes the people they had on vocals were people who were not necessarily associated, if you like, with dance.
I think that's better.
Yeah.
There is an appeal to that, like, you know, like it's like when you hear, you know, Brian Ferry singing on a Groove Armada track or something, because you're not expecting it. It just, it adds a little bit something special to it, I think.
Okay, so just with what you're doing at the moment, I mean, I remember you were with me last year on Fanning of Whelans, and you mentioned some guy, the most famous guy in dance. I said, who's he? Sorry.
I remember.
Who was that?
That was Paul Kalkbrenner.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
How's Paul these days?
Paul's doing really well, I think, as far as I know. I think
what's happening these days?
What's
good?
Well, I think there's a lot of really good music around at the moment, and particularly there's a lot coming out of Ireland, which is great. Electronic music, you know, there's the likes of obviously Ajek is doing really well, and Medea and Rebuke obviously has, you know, is pretty much on tour, I think, most of the year. So there is a lot of really good music, and I think it's a really good time for particularly electronic music. And maybe that's because people were locked up on their own for 2 years, and you didn't need a band to make electronic music. You know, maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Okay, and in terms of radio, are you seven nights a week these days or something? I never know.
I'm six. I've a day off on a Friday.
Oh, it's a Friday.
It's a Friday of a day off. So I'm on every other night.
What's the difference between Sunday and Thursday and Saturday then?
Okay.
Is there much of a difference?
There is a big difference. So Monday, you're obviously glued to the show every week.
Yeah, I can hear that. Right,
so Monday to Thursday is...
I didn't even know the last time you played Left Wing was last week.
Oh, listen. But
I must have been doing my hair.
Monday to Thursday is new Indian electronic, and then Saturday is the electric disco. Everybody knows that. And then Sunday night, I do a chill out show for 2 hours from 10 to midnight.
And where do you get time to do stuff live all over the country?
Well, I'm on a Saturday after work or on a Friday when I'm off. So that's where I am.
And are you back on the highways and byways since COVID?
I am back. I was in Munro's in Galway last Saturday after the show. And then obviously the jazz weekend is coming up in Cork. So I've got, I have a festival in Athy on the Friday. Then I'm in Cypress Avenue and then I'm in the Opera House. So it's like full on for the weekend.
And, have you ever been to Tribal Gathering?
I haven't actually.
Are you
inviting me?
No, I'm just wondering.
Are we going together, Dave?
I'm just wondering how good it is. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Wouldn't it?
By the way, is it an annual thing? Does it happen all the time still?
I'm not even sure, actually, because I haven't heard of it in a number of years. Is it still going? Can we bring the roadcaster?
Absolutely. and take an hour-long set from left field. Okay, well, listen, Jenny Green, what time are you on at nights on the radio, first of all?
Okay, well, I'm on Monday to Thursday from 9 to 11.
Yeah, and then Saturday night.
And then Saturday, 7 to 9, and then Sunday, 10 to midnight.
Wow. Okay.
So lots to remember,
all
isn't
over
it?
The place. So basically, Nighttime 2FM means Jenny Green. Jenny, listen, thanks a million for talking with us. Just the last track I'm going to play, Melt, yeah?
I thought we'd go out on something nice and chilled and we can just maybe just, I don't know, get a little hammock and float away.
Absolutely. And have a cup of coffee beforehand because I need one. All right, Jenny, thanks a million. Fair play. This is Melt. This is Leftism. This is Left Field.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.